Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. God bless and welcome you to Kingdom Builders International Blog Talk Radio, where I'm your host, Apostle Flowers. You're listening to the Restorer of Paths to Dwell In broadcast. every first and third Mondays of the month. And yes, this is the first Monday of the month. Amen. I'd like to thank the Lord for my wife, Prophetess Angel Flowers, as well. And thank God for her, my beloved, my bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Amen. A part of me, my help meet. Thank God for her as well. And thank God for you, your listening audience, those that are listening by internet and by landline or by cell phone. I know that today this has been a pretty busy day for those of you that have been with your family or with friends on Labor Day today, you know, set out the grill and barbecued and all that good stuff. So there's nothing like spending time with family and you know, just fellowshipping. And I pray that you enjoyed your day today on this Labor Day and everything. And for those of you that have, you know, worked hard, because this day is dedicated to you, for those that have labored in the workforce and everything. And I know many of you work hard, and those that do 9 to 5, whatever your schedule may be, amen, you deserve it to relax and enjoy yourself and to be blessed and everything. So that's why God created the first Labor Day, which was on the 7th day, as the Word of God said, that he rested from all his labors. And I believe in God that the people of God, those that are of the kingdom, the saints of God, begin to enter into the rest of the Lord, where we can cease from our labors. I'm talking about things that we don't even have to labor for, that God would bless us with and release into our hands. And that's what he was doing when it came to the children of Israel. He said, I prepared a place for you. He said, I got a place, a land flowing with milk and honey, that which I promised you, pomegranates and grapes and all kind of fruit, and everything that they heart desire was right there in that promised land God had for them. They didn't have to work for it. They didn't have to do nothing for it. God just had it waiting there for them. Just, I want to say to you, God has promised you, and God has his promises waiting on you, his blessings waiting on you. It's going to be something that you don't even have to work for. It's not going to be of your effort, of your own doing, or because you may have fasted these many days or prayed these many hours and everything, that you're going to obtain this, that which God is about to release, because he promised you. If he had released, if you have received some prophetic words over your life concerning that which God said that he's going to do concerning you, know that you're not going to have to work for it in order to obtain it. What I'm saying is, what you're saying, preacher, what I'm saying is that, yes, I want to encourage you to continue to walk uprightly before the Lord and live for the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Maintain your relationship and your prayer life and everything with him. But it's not going to be something by your doing that you're going to obtain what God has for you. It is God's pleasure. It is God's desire to bless his children, to give his children gifts. The Word of God talks about how we, being evil, know how to give gifts to our children. How much more is our Heavenly Father when it comes to his? So we are his children. We are his sons. We are his daughters. And it is it's in God's plan to bless us, his people. For we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. It is he that have made us, and not we ourselves. We were created for God's goodwill and for his pleasure. And I want you to be encouraged in that. Thank God for Prophetess Teresa, founder of Kingdom Builders International, and also for Evangelist Hannah. Thank God for her as well, and those that are, again, working behind the scenes to cause Blog Talk or Kingdom Builders to happen for you on behalf. They're praying for you behind the scenes, even though you don't know that. You are being prayed for. You're being interceded for. There is somebody, there is someone that is praying for you. Know that when you get into a bind, or you're in trouble, or you get into a situation that is hard for you to pray or to just begin to believe God or whatever, you got somebody standing in the gap for you. You got somebody warring on your behalf. You got somebody interceding for you and praying for you concerning your situation, that God would deliver you, whatever it is that you're facing, whatever giant that you're facing, whatever adversity in your life that you may be going through, whatever opposition that may be trying to oppose you. God have someone praying for you and standing in the gap for you. Before I get off into the Word of God on tonight, I just want to pray. And as I always say, before I like to start the broadcast, I always like to tell the people of God to be in high expectation. God wants you to be in high expectation. whenever the word of God is going forth. God wants you to believe him and to trust him that he's going to do that which he says he's going to do, and that you're going to hear something that's going to confirm what you're believing God for, or that's going to give you clarity or direction or understanding of what's going on in your life, and also look for God to give you an answer on how to get out of that situation. And I can remember starting out and going into the house of God in my, you know, in my early years when I truly became born again and had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I would go into the house of God and hear my pastor, he began to deliver the message. The word of God, I always went with expectation, because there were some moments when I was going through some stuff, some things in my life, and I needed to hear from God. I needed to get a word from the Lord through the preaching and the teaching of the word of God concerning my situation. God, I know you're going to have a word for me when I go into the house of the Lord, and that I'm going to hear concerning how can I get out of my situation, or words of encouragement, or I know that I'm going to hear something for you. So I would always go in putting a demand on the mantle of my pastor during that time years ago when I had started out in the house of God and start developing a relationship with the Lord. But anyway, before I get more into it, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you, Lord, even on tonight. God, I pray right now for the listening audience by way of cell phone or landline and by through the internet, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray right now, let there be an open heavens, Lord, over your people, Lord, over as the word is going forth, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now that you will loose, I loose right now the warring angels, God, your ministering angels right now, angels of healing, angels of deliverance, angels of miracles being released right now, God, on behalf of your people, angels of prosperity being released right now in the name of Jesus, God, even as the word is going forth, Father. Father, I pray supernatural miracles on behalf of your people, Lord. I pray that you're moving every home right now that is listening under the sound of my voice, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit will begin to move upon your people right now. In the name of Jesus, they've been feeling fatigued and tired and weary. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that a supernatural strength will come upon them right now. In the name of Jesus, I come against the works of darkness right now, even on tonight. I pour down every stronghold of the enemy. I take authority over every demonic and dark spirit, dark force right now that is working against the people of God. I rebuke it right now. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus right now. And I thank you for miracle healings taking place. Lord, those that need a healing in their body, God, right now, I thank you, Lord, for miracles taking place right now in their physical body. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I command them to be loose from spirits of infirmities, sicknesses, and diseases right now. In the name of Jesus, those that may be listening, the doctor has given them up, sent them home to die. Lord, I thank you for a supernatural miracle taking place in their physical body right now, God. Whatever's ailing your people, Lord, physically, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes they are healed. In the name of Jesus, whatever dark force is coming up against them, I rebuke it right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your blood covering the people of God right now, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I come against discouragement and disappointment right now. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for strengthening your people, Lord God, and for you making a way out of no way. Your word says that you are a present help in the time of trouble, Lord. And I thank you that you hear your children, God, when they cry out to you, when they call upon you, God, Lord, in the time of trouble, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, God, I pray that I bind the strong man in any of all Satan's strongholds, all satanic rulers of darkness, doorkeepers, and all connected and related spirits of witchcraft, Satan worship, human and animal sacrifices, black magic, witchcraft control, mind control, working in through the world, the United States, each state, county, city, township, suburb, street, neighborhood, block, home, and church, in Jesus' name. Upon all and any and all of Satan's children partaking or planning any evil work against me or my family or against the people of God, I lose, in the name of Jesus, the spirits of confusion, forgetfulness, destruction, also the spirit of adoption upon the people of God. In the name of Jesus, I release the spirit of confusion, forgetfulness, and destruction upon the enemy's camp right now, in the name of Jesus, and the spirit of adoption upon the people of God, the spirit of adoption upon the people of God, in the name of Jesus, to lead them to the Lord in a spirit of deliverance, to free them from the bondage they are in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to send forth your protection, your warring angels over each ceremony, coven, witch, and warlock, so that no curse or demon can emerge to be sent against the people of God, against the men of God, against the women of God, or against the saints of God, in the name of Jesus. Let those that love cursing, in the name of Jesus, I return it back to the pits of hell where it belongs, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray and I ask right now that you will send special angels to protect and hide and put a hedge around all of your children who are in the deliverance ministry. Also for all the people and animals that will be sought out and to be sacrificed or cursed in the name of Jesus. Lord, I break the powers of Satan right now on tonight in the name of Jesus. I break the powers of darkness off of the hearts and the minds of your people where the enemy have tried to entangle them and hold them in bondage in the name of Jesus. And Father, I give you praise and glory for it right now on tonight, God. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing and for answering this prayer, Lord. And I pray, Lord, let the eyes of understanding be enlightened on tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, thank God. Amen and amen. Well, people, God, I want to get right into the word of God on tonight. I know that God hears his people in the day of trouble. God hears you in the day of trouble. I tell you, if you are a saint of the Lord, and you've been walking with the Lord, and in this walk, how many know that the word of God said that he never said that it would be easy? The word of God said that those that live godly shall suffer persecution. You're going to experience some kind of persecution in your life. As long as you are in this earth realm, as long as there's breath still going through your body, and you are here, and you are a born-again believer, amen, and you are of the kingdom, you're going to experience some kind of opposition. You're going to experience some kind of adversity from the enemy. You're going to experience some kind of storm in your life is going to come. But it's not sent to destroy you, but it comes to make you stronger. It comes to build you up. It causes you to push you into a position to pray more. It pushes you into a position of seeking after the face of God even more. It pushes you into a position of depending upon the Lord even the more. It puts you in a position of trusting him when you're experiencing adversities and troubles in your life. It causes you to lean upon the hand of God. I know sometimes, you know, we have prayer partners and different ones that we, you know, we pray with, and we ask them to come into agreement with us, and we begin to let them know and share with some of the troubles that we may be, you know, experiencing in the season of our life. And usually, you know, the prayer partner will pray with you and begin to bind the hand of the enemy and come up against things and different things like that. But how many know that God wants to deliver you when you're in trouble? And God wants you to come to him when you're experiencing trouble in your life. Even though that's good that we have those that we can talk to or go to at times when we're experiencing some difficult moments in our life, but how many know that God really wants us to just to lean upon him and to turn to him even the more when we're going through these different things, you know, in our life, because God has the power to deliver. God has the power, amen, to uproot things. It is the anointing. Thank God for the anointing that breaks and destroys the yoke. And I just thank God that he did not leave us comfortless. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He said, I must go away. When he's with the disciples for the time that he was here on the earth, the 3.5 years that he was here and doing his ministry, and he spent that time training and working with the disciples and then imparting into them the word of God and the word concerning the kingdom of God and what the kingdom is like, and because that's what Jesus was teaching his disciples, and Jesus was imparting that in his disciples. And at times, yes, we know in some certain scriptures you read the word of God, Jesus got a little bit of frustrated with the disciples, you know, especially with them asking questions, either have I not long been with you, and so on. So you can kind of sense some of the frustration from Jesus concerning the disciples. But he said, you know, nevertheless, he said, when I go away, the Comforter must come, and when he come, that he's going to teach you, which is the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth is going to teach you. He's going to teach you all things, and he's going to bring back to your remembrance what was taught unto you. And so Jesus, you know, left it at that. And so he wanted them to know and to see that when they begin to experience troubles in a life, they can recall through the word of God and through that which they were taught through him, amen, how to stand through the midst of adversity and how to stand with the midst, in the midst of trouble when things happen in their life, that they can begin to call upon the Father in his name. And that's why Jesus said, in my name. He said, remember, when you come to the Father, you come in my name. And I tell you, when you begin to call upon the name of Jesus, Jesus will come to your rescue. Jesus will deliver you. Jesus will begin to turn things around. I'm not talking about those saints that are kind of like halfway in and halfway out, and only time they come, or they come to the house of God is when they are in trouble. Only time when they when you hear from them is when they are in trouble. I'm talking about those that are pastors and those that are leaders. You know what I'm talking about. You have saints that get into trouble, and then you don't hear from them, you don't see them. But then when trouble arises, then that's when they begin to show up, and then you begin to hear from them. They want you to pray for them. They want you to believe God with them to get them out of this situation or turn a certain thing around and so on and everything. I'm not talking about that kind of trouble. I'm talking about those that are faithful in the things of God, those people that are committed in the house of God, those people who give of their self and of their time and of their talent, of their resources to the house of God to help push the vision that God has given the man of God or the woman of God. I'm not talking about those that, those that end up in trouble that come in, like treat the house of God like a hotel. I'm going to, go and check in every now and then. I'm going to, drive-by type of saying, I'm just going to, stop on this journey of my time when I'm in trouble. Now, I got a flat tire on my car now, so now I need some help. I'm in trouble. And so when that flat tire gets fixed and everything, and now, they don't need nobody's help because everything is going fine. Everything is good, and so on until that time of trouble. But God wants us to be faithful concerning the things of him, and God, like I said, God will rescue those that when they end up in trouble, when the enemy is troubling them. And how many of you can relate to me concerning having some troubles in their life? Some of you are going through some troubles right now and experiencing troubles in your life that you need God to deliver. You've been crying out to God. You've been praying and asking God to deliver you from a certain situation that you're facing in your life. In 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, in that chapter, it talks about how we are troubled on every side. If you can, get a pad, get a pen, begin to write these scriptures down and follow me so you can go back and refer to them for yourself in the Word of God. So I would like to encourage the saints of God to do that, to go back to the scriptures and refer to the scriptures for yourself. And so, but in this chapter, Paul began to write, and he began to say how we are troubled on every side. And how many know that when you experience that being troubled on every side, I'm not talking about just being troubled, you just have this only certain kind of trouble here. Well, I'm just only having some financial trouble, I'm just having some trouble in my health, or no, I'm just having some trouble with my kids, just one kind of trouble. But I'm talking about being troubled on every side. Your money is kind of funny, and in the bank account in the negative, and you're just barely getting by from paycheck to paycheck. The kids acting up. I'm talking about on every side, and you're going through physically in your body, being attacked in your body and attacked in your mind, and everything, stress and pressure because of all these troubles that are going on around you. You're being troubled on every side. The neighbor cutting up and acting up and coming up against you, and then not only that, you're going to church and you're finding trouble in church, and the enemy is rising up, and some of those in the church coming up against you. So here you are finding, being troubled on every side. But Paul began to go on to say, yet not in distress. He said, we are perplexed. How many times have you had some perplexing moments that you didn't understand, and like, I'm just perplexed about this whole situation, and you would be to the point like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. It's going to take a straight miracle from God in order to get me out of this thing that I'm in, because I don't know how I got into this situation. But Paul began to go on to say, but not in despair. He said, persecuted. You know, persecuted. You heard me say, well, what the word says about the godly, as long as you live godly, you're going to experience persecution, some level of persecution in your life, depending upon the call upon in your life, depending upon what God is calling you to do, the work that God is calling you to do, the level of persecution that you're going to experience and that you're going to go through. And I'm telling you, if you a person that God has called to the ministry, or if you are in ministry, there are greater levels of persecution that the men of God and that the women of God experience in walking in the ministry of the Lord, especially if you're moving in the ministry where you believe in miracles, signs, and wonders, and casting out demonic spirits and forces. The deliverance ministry always come up against persecution, and also the prophetic ministry always experiencing great persecution. And I tell you, when you're walking in the Spirit and you're walking in the kingdom of God and you're implementing the kingdom of God as it is in heaven, you're doing it here in this earth realm, the enemy is going to come up against you. You're going to experience persecution in your life. The enemy is going to try to do whatever he can to try to intimidate you, to get you to back up so that you won't do the work of God. Yes, the enemy gets in leaders at times that yield themselves to the enemy out of jealousy or out of a Saul spirit end up coming upon them, and then next thing you know, you don't understand, you don't know why. Why is this going on? I don't understand. Some of the, you know, the people in the church, they're in leadership position, and they're coming up against me, and they're accusing me, accusations, and so on, and all these various things. But the Word of God talks about persecution, that you're going to experience persecution. Jesus went on to say to his disciples that no servant is above his master. So what Jesus was saying is, if I'm experiencing persecution, going through things, and because of you are of me, you're going to go through persecution. You're going to experience some trials and some tribulations in your life. But then Paul goes on to say, even though these persecution, being persecuted, all these various different things happening, the Word of God says, but not forsaken. Remember, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. I know you're saying pretty just easy said than done, but you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the hardships that I've been experiencing. You don't know the disappointing moments, the broken promises, and the various things that have been happening in my life. And you just don't understand. I've been feeling kind of like I'm all alone and there's no one there, and like I'm the only one. You've been going through Elijah syndrome, having Elijah symptoms, I would say. But the Word of God says that Jesus said that I'll never leave you. And I know sometimes when you're going through some things, and it seems like everything that you touch is turning into mud. It seems like the more you pray and the more you're trying to pursue the things of God and to walk uprightly before the Lord, it just seems like things are getting worse, and it looks like things are not working out. That's a smoke screen of the enemy, of the devil. That's what the enemy wants to be. That's what the enemy wants you to focus on. But you got to keep your eye on the prize. God wants you to keep your eye on the prize and begin to forget those things that are behind. Yes, that thing that you went through on today is going to be, it became behind you the next second that it have passed by. That's the past now. Even as I'm talking now, some of the things that I'm sharing with you right now, as the seconds go by now, is considered the past, even though I'm speaking concerning even some future things. But as the hand ticks and go past the second hours, it becomes the past. So what are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is the hardships and the different things that the enemy has tried to take you through, the troubles that he tried to bring into your life, and as you're standing upon the Word of God, and as you're believing, you're looking forward and pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high call in that which is in Christ Jesus. Now that thing that you're going through now is a thing of the past. It had became the past now because you're not focusing on that. You're focusing on the future and what God is about to do in your life and what God has promised you. You're looking through the eyes of faith, and you believe in God, and you're looking at those things which be not as though they were. You're looking and seeing yourself restored financially, You're looking and seeing yourself healed. That's what I'm talking about. You're looking, and like I said, the hand pass, go past the seconds. That becomes the past. Why? Because you're moving towards the future. That's why Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. And so every time the enemy try to bring a thought, a negative thought, a wrong thought to your mind, you begin to cast that thing down. Because a lot of times our past, we allow our past to hinder us from moving forward into our future. So you got to stop letting your past hinder you from moving forward into your future. Begin to cast down, as my buddy, Apostle, would always say, cast down doubt, fear, and unbelief. But remember, I know sometimes when you go on through things, it seems like you're all alone, and God, where are you? God, I'm hurting, I'm in pain, and so on. But he said in his word, but not forsaken. You're not forsaken. Paul went on to say, cast down, but not in, not destroy. I know so you have some moments where you feel cast down, feel belittled, people talking about you, talking, being condescending unto you, and you know, just thinking that they're better than you and looking at you like you're nothing, you're nobody, oh, because, you know, their status, well, I got this amount of money, I drive this kind of car, I have this kind of house and everything, and they're looking, you know, down on you and making you feel cast down and like you're nothing, you're nobody, and so on, and who are you? But the word of God says here, but not destroyed. Verse 10, this is the answer right here, 2 Corinthians 10. The reason being why we experience and go through all these things and being troubled on every side is because always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifested in our bodies. That's the whole purpose why we experience troubles in our life. And sometimes we can cause our own troubles because of what we say and what we speak out of our mouth, negativity. That's what I'm talking about, in a negative way, releasing negative words. We abort our own blessings. We abort our own prayers, what we have prayed and what we believe God for, because we end up getting into a position of being double-minded and being in a position of being unstable, instability in our life. One minute we believe God, the next minute we don't. One minute we believe God again, the next minute we don't. And that's why Jen began to talk about, we like that wave of the sea that's being tossed to and fro, going back and forth and everything. And he began to go on to say, think that that man should not receive anything from God because of it. And you can't. I'm not saying that. I'm saying what the word says. You can't if you're back and forth like that. You got to stand on what you believe, and that's stand on the word of God. If you believe God, believe him. If you don't believe God, then you just don't believe him. But don't be in between, back and forth. One minute, you know, you believe God. The next minute, you don't believe God, because you're looking at your circumstance. You're looking at what's happening in the natural realm. It don't look good. It's not sounding good. Negative reports, negative words. So then you're allowing this to feed your spirit, the troubles that you're experiencing in your life, to feed your spirit and to minister to you doubt and unbelief. And then next thing you know, whatsoever man speaketh, so is he. So now by you allowing all this to minister to you, your troubles to minister to you, and now you're speaking it, you're prophesying trouble out of your mouth. You're prophesying negativity out of your mouth concerning a situation. Oh, it's never going to get better. Oh, it seems like I'm not going to get healed. Oh, I don't know about this. I don't know if I'm coming out of this situation. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Oh, this is just too hard for me. Oh, I just don't believe this. It's just, think about what you're saying. You're prophesying. You're prophesying your worlds. Now, the word of God said that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's how everything was created, through the word of God, through what God has spoken. God said, God saw, and God said that it was good. And when God spoke it, he saw results of it. That's the results that we see right now, and you a result of a prophetic word that which God has prophesied and spoken out of his mouth. What day, what hour, what month, what time, what minute, what city, what type you were going to be, male or female, what background that you're going to come from, whether it's rich, poor, or whatever, the ethnic group or nationality, it was prophesied Amen. Prophesy. Prophesy. God spoke you here into this earth realm. I'm prophesying you here. And God's saying, if his spirit lives on the inside of you, Jesus lives on the inside of you, and you are the kingdom, you're born again believer, then you have that same authority to prophesy, to speak to the troubles in your life that's being stirred up in your life. You have the authority. A lot of times we look for the pastor to speak to the troubles in our life. A lot of times we look for the evangelist coming into town to speak to the troubles in our life. A lot of times we look for the going to seek out the prophet to speak to the troubles in our life. A lot of times we go and we seek other men of God and women of God to speak to the troubles in our life when God has given you that authority to speak to the trouble. If you don't believe me, then ask the disciples when they were on the ship and Jesus was asleep, sound sleep. And I always like to say, I'm pretty sure he was having some visions and some dreams and being ministered to and having a restful, peaceful sleep. And there was a storm brewing up outside, winds blowing, shaking the boat back and forth. I could imagine water flopping up on the boat, and almost seemed like it probably was going to turn over any minute. And the disciples, they were fearful, they were afraid. They went running down, troubling Jesus, waking them up and saying to him, "Master, do you not care that we perish?" And song and everything. And of course, you all know the word of God and how Jesus went up and he rebuked the winds and commanded, "Peace, be still." And he got a little bit of, turned to the disciples and told them they have the same authority to be able to speak, because even though they were experiencing troubles, and Jesus spoke to that trouble, but Jesus letting them know that I have given you the authority to speak. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to utilize the authority that he has given you to speak to the troubles in your life, not only to your troubles. Don't make it a selfish thing, but speak, be able to speak into the troubles of other people's lives. What I'm saying is, the Bible says, think not on the things of yourself, but think on the things of others. We experience troubles in our life. God wants us to be able to encourage others, speak words of encouragement into the lives of others that are troubled and going through troubled situations and so on, begin to pray for others that are troubled and so on and everything. And so, but don't just get stuck on just speaking to the troubles in your life. So God wants you to be able to put you in a position that you can be able to do that for other people that are going through things in their lives. Let me give you a definition of trouble. You say to agitate mentally or spiritually, worry, disturb, archaic, mistreat, oppress, to produce physical disorder in afflict. And so all that sounds just like the enemy, doesn't it? That all sounds like Satan and his cohorts, those that he send out to trouble the people of God. It sounds just like him. He liked to be archaic and oppress and if all possible, he liked to produce physical disorder and he liked to afflict. That's his thing. That's his MO. That's his type. He liked to afflict the people of God. In Psalms, the 20th chapter of Psalms, and in the first verse, it says that the Lord hears thee in the day of trouble. You know, when the enemy's trying to afflict you and bring trouble into your life, as you heard me share before, that God hears you in the day of trouble, when you're experiencing troubles in your life. And let me give you the Hebrew definition of trouble. It's tightness, rival, adversary, adversity, affliction, distress, anguish, tribulation, and trouble. Right? They all sound, again, like the enemy, what the enemy liked to do. He liked to be our adversary. The word of God talks about we have an adversary who goes about, which is the devil, the enemy, trying to seek those whom can devour. We experience adversity in our life. And again, affliction. Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of some of them. No, part of them. No, but the word of God says here, the Lord deliver him out of them all. God deliver his people out of all of their afflictions. And you just have to believe that and stand on the word in Psalms 22 and 24 said, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the afflictions of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. And if you don't believe me, ask Job. God removed the hedge from around Job. And Satan went to buffet him and take him through. But God told, let Satan know that you cannot touch his soul. You cannot have his soul. And the enemy did all he took his children. Took every almost everything that he owned. Even afflicted his body. And then turned around and rose up within his wife and said, why don't you just curse God and die? And then not only that, his buddy, his friends, his prayer partners, you know, the men of God, you know, the network, you know, the network going on. And they begin to say, you know, something that you must have done for this to come upon you. You must have sinned and everything. And with that religious mindset, and if you're not discerning by the Spirit and discern things spiritually, you can misread what's happening in a person's life and why a person is going through what they're going through in their life, and you can judge it wrong. And you got to be careful. Be careful that. That's why the Word of God talks about spiritually discerned. Some things have to be spiritually discerned. You just cannot look at something in the natural and then automatically come up with an assumption. As the world will say, you cannot judge a book by its cover. A lot of times, you know, you have people in the church when there's trouble going on in the people of God's life, and they see the troubles firsthand going on in their life. The first thing they holler that they must have sinned and done something wrong. You know, they messed up somewhere because all, you know, these different things are happening in their life. And that's not the case. And so that's why we got to be careful in praying. People, God, that we don't get caught up like that, but that we just begin to believe and be encouraged. Those that are going through some things in their life, that God will see them through and that God will make the way. And if there's a financial need there, or if they need some food, whatever it is that they need, and you have the resources and you have it there to be able to help them, don't just say, okay, I'm just going to be praying for you and I just bless you in the name of the Lord God. Do it for them when God has already revealed it unto you, and you saw their need, and God was showing you because you were able to meet the need in their life where they needed help at, but you turn around and close up your eyes and your hearing and just said, oh, you know, I'm just going to pray for you. I see what you're going through, so I'm going to pray. God bless them financially, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God's going to do it for you. But you had it in your possession to be able to help them and to do so, and you didn't do it. So now you just missed out your blessing and what God was about to do. The Word of God said that you lend to the poor, so you're lending unto the Lord. And you know that God is not going to be in debt to no man, to no one. We cannot out give God. We cannot beat God giving. Amen. So that's why God established the law of reciprocity. Whatsoever a man sow, that he shall also reap. So even in the midst of trouble, that's what I'm saying, in trouble, do the opposite. Begin to bless God. Begin to praise him. Give thanks unto him. And I know a lot of times we would hear it almost sound like a cliche that when the praises goes up, the blessings come down. That's scriptural. That is scriptural. You got to believe it. Just don't be saying it, turn into like it's a cliche or something, but believe what you're saying, that God, as I'm praising you and as I'm blessing your name, God, Lord, I know that you're releasing, and I know that you're releasing the blessings, God. I know that you're releasing my miracle, God. I know that you're releasing the answer to my problem, my situation, God. I know that you're releasing deliverance, because that's a blessing that deliverance is coming. That's a blessing that healing is taking place, because that's a blessing from the Lord, because you begin to praise your way out of your trouble. You get to praise your way out of your situation. If you don't believe me, ask David. David knew how to praise the Lord when God had done great and mighty things in his life, and God had brought him through a great war, when he went out to war and God caused him to have the victory. And he began, because that was a troubling moment, a troubling time when you have to go into war. Think about those in the armed forces. When the trouble arises, what they do, they go out and they're in the midst of trouble. And anything can happen, and that's why they need our prayers and our support and everything else. So I want to encourage you to do so, to pray for those in our armed forces and pray for them and their salvation and everything. But even as David went out to war and God caused him to be victorious, in the midst of, he began to praise God. He began to bless God, because that's how David ended up being so blessed, because he was a man after God's own heart. And when you're doing that through the midst of adversity, you'll be one after God's own heart, and God began to release the blessings. God began to turn your adversity around. God began to turn your situation around. God began to bring restoration in your life, because you begin to endure hardship as a good soldier in the midst of trouble. You begin to praise and bless the name of the Lord through the season of the wilderness experience that you have been going through in your life. Then God began to give you what you need in the wilderness, begin to give you to drink and begin to supply what you need. And then after that season is over with, then God began to bring you up into a place of plenty. Why? Because you've been trusting him, you've been believing him, you've been waiting on him, you've been blessing him, and you have been continuing serving him. That's why the word of God said, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. And I'm not talking about wait as sitting there and say, well, I'm just going to wait on God for God to do it. No, that means to wait on the Lord is to continue to be diligent in the things of God while you're waiting on him to renew your strength. It doesn't mean to stop doing what you're doing in the things of God. It doesn't mean I'm just going to sit still and just not do nothing at all because I'm waiting on the Lord to renew my strength. No, as you go and as you're pressing your way, God is renewing your strength. And then God's going to begin to cause his supernatural strength to begin to come upon you. And then the Lord's going to begin to release more of his grace into your life, which causes favor to reign in your life where you didn't have the resources. But because of the favor of God, God will give you favor with men. And that's why he said, give. And a lot of times, I know we use that scripture in Luke as a financial principle, but we just cannot limit that scripture to that. But the word of God said, give, and it shall be given unto you, back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. With the measure that you have given out, it shall be measured back unto you again. So if you give it out a little, you're only going to get back a little. Well, what I'm saying is, if you're giving out of yourself more, you know, of yourself, you're still pressing through and allowing the Lord to use you, and you're being faithful in the house of God and committed. You're not someone that's unstable and going from church to church, and when every time trouble arrives and you're thinking it's going to be better at the next church that you go through, all you're going to do until you pass that test, until you get through this test going on in your life, you're going to always run into trouble. You're going to run. There's no running away from it. Until you can stand and pass that test, it's going to come right back around again. So you don't want to do that. So you want to be able to stand and allow God to deliver you and be faithful through the midst when trouble is going on in your life. In Psalms 34 and 6, it says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You hear that? Cry. He cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his troubles. Now, going back to Psalms 20 and 1, it said, the name of God, in that verse, down further in that verse, it said, the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. God will defend you. You don't have to take the battle when you're in trouble. You don't have to take things into your own hand. You're going to have some seasons in your life where you're not going to have to fight. You're not going to have to defend yourself. Yeah, well, I'm not going to allow them to do this and do that to me. I never was a pushover, and so, you know, I'm, you know, stand up and show them what I'm going to tell them something. I'm going to put my religion down for a second and tell them off, and then I'm going to pick it back up. Well, I didn't know you can do that. All right, well, what happened to you? I'm crucified with Jesus Christ, and what happened to you being identifying with Jesus Christ? Burial, death, and resurrection. You know, that old man being dead and staying dead. I didn't know for a moment that you can bring that old man back up for a second and put Jesus down and bring that old man back up and tell him, let me tell this person off, and then let me pick him back up again and go on and everything and different things like that. No. In John 5th chapter, the 4th verse, it said, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now let's break that down a little bit. Dis-ease. Dis-ease. I tell you, when you're troubled and you have some troubling situations in your life, it brings a dis-ease. It causes you to be uncomfortable. It causes you to be restless. It causes you to toss and turn, and at times it causes you to make up, you know, excuses because, oh, you know, I can't do this, or I can't do this for God, or because, you know, I got this trouble in my life. Oh, I can't give because I got this kind of trouble going on in my life and so on and everything. And just like the man that was sitting by the pool, and he made excuses when Jesus came. And he was making all kind of excuses why, you know, he couldn't be healed, why he couldn't get into the, you know, to the water and so on and everything, because when nobody pick him up or whatever, take him and help him and put him in, you know, in the water. And sometimes we don't do things in God. We look for somebody else and we make up excuses why we're not doing it. Why? Because my spouse, that's the reason why I'm not coming to church, and because they're not really living right and so on. So we use that excuse to keep us from coming into the house of God, or my children, or this is some kind of excuse why we can't come after the things of God, or why we're not, things are not happening in our life, why we're not getting our miracle. We begin to put the excuse on somebody else. Well, I think put it on our pastor or our leaders, and saying, you know, the reason why things are not happening in our life because of them. They won't help me, or such, and so on and everything. And but if you go back to go to Genesis. In Genesis, the first chapter, it says, starting at the second verse, it said, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." And there we go. See, darkness cannot stand light. So when troubles come in your life, that's the works of darkness being in operation. And so you got to begin to let your light shine. And even as God began to speak light in the midst of when it was darkness, chaos, and everything chaotic and going on and everything, and God had to establish some order here. And God began to speak and say, "Let there be light." So he began to speak his word. He began to speak the word in the midst of darkness that was going on. And it caused it to align and to get in order at his word. God said, "Let there be light," and there was. And so I'm going back to, again, as you heard me say earlier, about prophesying and speaking to the troubles in your life. You have to say, "Let there be light." Somebody ought to catch that one. Speak to your troubles. Speak to the darkness in your life and say, "Let there be light." And it has to line up. Those troubles and so on have to line up with the word of God. Amen. Well, my time is just about winding up here. I want to encourage you, people of God, in your own leisure, in your own time, begin to stand upon the word of God. Begin to speak the word of God concerning your circumstances, your situations. Believe that what you're speaking and what you're saying when it comes to the word. I'm not going to be able to get through all the scriptures, but I'm just going to close with this, with Luke, the 22nd chapter. Now, this is dealing with Jesus in the garden, because Jesus was experiencing some troubles in his life, and to show you here in Luke, the 22nd chapter, in the 40th verse, and it said, "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation." Because when you experience some troubles in your life, you know, I'm pretty sure all kind of thoughts are going to try to rise up in your mind how you can get out of a situation. I'm not talking about the right thoughts in your mind. I'm talking about things that God had delivered you from, brought you from the past. That old man, sometimes that old man want to rise up and begin to use your troubling situation that you're experiencing in your life to try to bring temptation, especially if you were one that used to sell drugs or get high or drink and was an alcoholic and God had delivered you, or if you was a person that was a thief, a con artist and stuff, and then now you're experiencing some troubles in your life, and now the enemy want to try to get you to revert back to your old man, your old ways, to fall into that. But I'm here to say unto you on tonight to begin to prophesy, begin to speak to that and begin to cast those thoughts down. And 41 verse says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast. This is Jesus. And kneeled down. Jesus had kneeled down and prayed. Now, this is time when you're going through in your life. Kneel down and pray. And Jesus began to say, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. See, God's always sent help. When you become broken before the Lord, when you begin to cry out unto the Lord, when you're going through, God has sent an angel to your rescue. God sent help to you. And at that moment when Jesus knew that he was going to die, and Jesus was having second thoughts and going through, because remember, Jesus was the Son of God, and then he was the Son of Man. That that fleshly side began to kick in, the emotions began to kick in. Jesus realized, oh man, I'm about to die here, and you know how we get when we're faced with certain situations and certain things in our life, and for a moment anxiety hit us and everything and so on. But the first thing we need to do is to fall down on our knees and begin to pray and begin to cry out unto the Lord. That's what Jesus did. And then angel appeared and strengthened him. And being in agony, so Jesus was in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The enemy will come upon you unaware. So God, this is not the time to sleep in the midst when troubles is going on. This is not the time. Amen. This is time to be vigilant. This is the time to be more alert. This is time to be sharp and in tune into the things of God, and so that the enemy won't creep up on you unaware, and you wonder what happened and where did I go wrong, and I don't understand, how this happened or could happen. Why? Because you were asleep. You weren't paying attention. So now the enemy crept in and launched out attack upon you. The Word of God talks says that when the enemy come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lift up a standard against him. And what is a standard? It's a banner. It's a banner, which means that he belongs to me, she belongs to me, they are marked by me, they are mine. God, let the enemy know that they belong to me. Well, saints of God, that's it for my time. My time is just over with, but I thank God for those of you that have been listening on tonight. I pray that you were blessed and encouraged and strengthened on tonight, and that know that you have the authority. I'd like to take this time to lead those of you that may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just repeat after me, even if you have backslidden, the Lord is married to the backslider, and he loves you, and he wants you to come on home. You can come on back, and he's not going to hold to your charge what you have done or what the enemy have caused you to fall into as you begin to give your life back unto the Lord. Just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. And I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. Amen. If you just said that prayer, welcome. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over you. Now the angels of the Lord of God, they rejoice over the one sinner, amen, that gives his life, then the 99 that is already saved. The Word of God said that a physician don't need to go a physician. You don't need a physician if you're well. See, the physician attend to those that are sick. And so those that are in the world and that are bound by the enemy, as they give their life to the Lord, then they are made whole. And they are one of those numbers that don't need a physician then. And so that's what the physician is for. It's for those that need him. It's for those that need Jesus and that need to be healed, that needs to be well. Well, praise the Lord. Again, tune in on the third Monday of this month at 8 p.m. and listen to Restorative Paths to Dwell In. I'm Apostle Flowers. I thank you for tuning in and listening. Those of you by landline and those of you by cell phones and internet listeners, and ministry is called Repair the Breach International Ministries. We are located in Chicago, Illinois, the Windy City. If you'd like to get in contact with me concerning our order of service, you can give me a call and where we are holding service at. Our number is area code 773-888-3356. Amen. That's area code 773-888-3356. God bless you, and be encouraged, and good night.